Welcome to the Kenkel Fritz and Friends podcast. If you want to hear the show, you can find it on Family Life Radio. If you want to find a station near you, you can go to myflr.org or stream it online.
Welcome to the podcast. Misty's here.
Hello.
Sally's here.
Hello.
Come on, Sally. On the spot. Let's go. And I'm the Kenkel Fritz guy, and we're thrilled to have... let's just start with this. You know, you've probably been there in your life where you've got... big plans, or you've got things that you want to accomplish, things you want to, you really, or we'll just put it this way. Sometimes you wish you were somewhere else in your point in time in life. Things just aren't happening the way you want them to. Look, let's just face it, guys. We want it right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have an issue with impatience. I think most people do.
I think you just displayed it.
Thank you.
I
wanted Sally to talk right now. Well, this is cool. We've got Ashley Hetherington with us. She's written the book called The Joy of In Between. And that's in between of where, you know, you are and where you want to be. And so welcome to the show.
Welcome. I'm so grateful to be here, to be in the presence of y'all. And we're just going to have so much fun today.
Oh, man. I can't wait.
We're excited.
You're also the founder of Honey Scoop, which is a lifestyle blog that encourages and equips young women to grow their faith and reach their full potential in God.
That's cool. Sounds delicious.
I know. I want a honey. Sounds great.
I love honey. I mean, that's part of why we named it that.
I like that.
Honey's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ashley, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. So I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I am 26 years old. I'm a writer. I'm a speaker. And I'm the founder of the Honey Scoop. But most importantly, I just wrote this book, my second book. I self-published my first, but this is the first official book that I'm so excited to put into the world and talk about with you all today.
So I assume you've been in the in-between, or maybe you're in the in-between right now. Is that where this is coming from?
Yes. So when I was deciding, you know, what to write about, I really looked at what my audience was struggling with the most, that I also was struggling with or have struggled with. And one of the things I hear all the time from my audience is, how do I trust God in a waiting season? How do I wait on God's timing? How do you surrender to the Lord? Like these questions that, you know, they're all church lingo, but there isn't a ton of, we don't talk about it enough, how difficult it is to not take matters into our own hands and really trust the process that God is taking us through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah. Oh boy, it is. Would you be willing to share one of these times where maybe you're like, you're not listening, God, you're not working, but then you look back and you actually see in that, you know, what you thought was a delayed answered prayer or delayed whatever, God was actually in the midst of the whole time.
Yes. So I think we can all perhaps look back on a time where we were waiting and it made no sense in the moment, but then we can look back and think, wow, there was so much purpose in that. So for one, when I graduated college in the pandemic. Do we remember when that happened? Mm. I mean, what?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That happened. And so I graduated college in the pandemic and all of my friends moved onto all of these cool jobs in different cities. And I went back to live with my mother in my childhood bedroom. And I had no plan. I didn't know what I was going to do, especially because we kind of got out of school. We weren't on campus like everyone else right now, like seniors right now. We just kind of got sent home and all of that. So my plans got changed and I didn't have a plan. And I just felt that I was to be patient and wait on the Lord with what I was supposed to do. But in that time, I felt that the Lord was calling me to pursue my blog, which, you know, everyone else is moving on to 9-to-5s or their business jobs, their corporate jobs. And I'm working on my blog at home. But little did I know that that would be the same year that TikTok would start. And God led me into that without me even knowing that this huge video platform was going to get off the ground and all of these creators were going to start creating videos, which I hadn't done before. So looking back on it, if I hadn't had that year to focus on this blog and to start creating videos around my faith and sharing Jesus. Like if I just went and did what everyone else did and got impatient, took matters into my own hands, we wouldn't even be sitting here right now. And so it's just, you gotta follow the Lord and follow his lead, even when it makes zero sense to you or anyone else around you.
Okay, so like practical ways to actually do that though, to persevere through that perceived delay, because that is tough.
It's really tough. I mean, especially I think about Joseph in scripture, like he was given a dream by God and it took him like 13 years, I think, to actually get to the dream through prisons. So practically speaking, one thing I see from him and also just what I've learned is being faithful to steward what is in front of you. So if you are to only focus on the things that you don't have, you are going to get really frustrated. But if you take a moment and you take inventory and you say, I'm going to look at every single gift God has given me, and I'm going to say, how do I be faithful to steward each one of those things? And you just put your hand to the plow and you focus. That could be family. How do you steward your family better while you're waiting on your spouse to come into your life, or you're waiting for a child, right? How do you steward the family you have now? How do you steward the job you have now while you're waiting to get to that promotion? How do you steward what's in front of you? Like so much of when God brings us to the next season is apparent to how we stewarded the past season.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to look at Joseph and go, yeah, that's exactly what I want.
Right.
How about I have my brothers, you know, sell me to somebody else? And I mean, it's just, yeah, that's, or Paul being in prison not as long as he was. There's a lot of in between in the Bible. That's a good point.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we know the end of their stories, right? But they didn't.
Yeah.
And so I think that as we look at this whole topic of the in-between, it's probably one of the most difficult things we deal with. And pretty much all of us can relate to something that we feel like we're in the middle of the in-between. But let's talk about the Gen Zers and the struggles that are unique to them with their faith, and how it differs maybe from the older generations.
I think it's different with our gen because we have grown up in this world of Amazon Prime and Uber Eats, and you know, we even like dating apps, like there's just no need to wait on anything, really. There's things at your fingertips 24/7 that you can make happen in like the blink of an eye. I mean, if we have to wait 45 minutes for Uber Eats, we're all upset. And it's just, okay, right? And it's so different than the older generations that did have to wait, that didn't have these cell phones at their beck and call, that maybe did have to practice patience. I think patience for all generations, for centuries, has been something that's been difficult for us, right? But specifically with our generation, we're just not used to waiting. So when God is leading us to wait, or when he's calling us into a wilderness, when he's leading us into this wilderness season of just waiting on him and trusting that he's going to come through, it feels really uncomfortable. And honestly, a lot of us actually peace out on our faith because we're like, why would a good God make me wait this long?
Yeah. You know, why am I getting pictures of Baruch Assault in Willy Wonka? You know, I never quite equated that, but as I'm listening to you, I'm like, oh, this is what's happening. It's that we used to have to make a list, a shopping list, and think about it and wait a week before we went into town to do our shopping. And that's just almost a ridiculous idea anymore. It's almost laughable. So, wow, it really has changed our whole outlook. And so when I think about going back to the situations that we mentioned, like the people in scripture who had to wait, how do we fight that fear and doubt that wants to creep in when we're used to solutions being automatic?
One of the things I think that's helped me the most with fighting fear, and I don't know if we all can attest to this, if you guys have similar testimonies, but prayer has been my literal weapon. Prayer. So when I get anxious about this thing, when I worry about this thing, oh, I'm on social media and I see that this is going on, and fear creeps in, I have to go, okay, am I going to worry Am I going to obsess? Am I going to overthink? We're going to choose that. Or am I going to pray? And I'm going to do what 1 Peter 5:7 says, where it says, hey, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. When you cast, you don't cast and then take it back. You cast and you leave it. And you say, all right, I prayed about it. I trust that my God heard it. And I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to go on with my day. And I'm going to trust that the answer's on the way.
It's intentional, right?
Yeah.
It's a big word around here is intentionality. And so just even holding that captive, that idea of recognizing this is what's happening and stopping is what I hear you saying. And because we so often don't even realize we're in the in-between. We don't know what patience looks like. And so we don't even recognize that now's the time for me to hold on to this, identify that it's fear and that we're in this waiting season. I love that you've really helped us see that, because you would think it would be automatic, but I don't think it is. So yeah, like it.
Well, it's everything that I had to learn the hard way. Like, I mean, I just, as I was going through my own doubts with God and struggles with the Lord and like wrestling with God, I had to learn, okay, wow, I could worry for weeks on end, or I could just pray. And you learn these things in the trenches that you come out and you're like, wow, okay, that was real wisdom. And it's also in scripture. So if something you're actually seeing is practically working out in your life and it's in scripture, it's like, whoa, we got to pay attention to that.
That's true. Why don't you speak to somebody that's maybe a young person right now that's in that in-between, and what would your best advice be if they're struggling to believe and trust God that he's good and he's worthy of trust? In other words, I can trust, I'm in the in-between right now. I'm going to trust your plan, even though it doesn't seem like it's working out.
1,000%. That question is so good, because a lot of people, when they see that the plan isn't working the way that they thought, they assume that God isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think a lot of that's that question, like, well, you know, if God is good, then why do bad things happen to good people, right? And that is like the question that people ask. And I would say real and true authentic trust in the Lord is not based off of what's going on in your life.
It is
you saying, actually, no matter what happens, I am choosing the Lord, and I'm choosing to surrender, and I'm choosing that my Bible says that who God's character is, and it says that he will be with me and everything. It says that I won't. It doesn't say that I won't ever go through trial, because literally Jesus says, hey, you're going to have trouble in this world, but take heart because I've overcome it. And he says, hey, you're going to go through valleys, but I'm with you in the valley. So we have to go, okay, is this gospel I'm believing in, is this gospel I'm believing in about me having this perfect life? Because that's not the gospel. The gospel I'm believing in is I'm actually laying down my life, and I'm taking up my cross, right? I'm laying down my life. I'm following Jesus, and I'm saying, Jesus, whatever you have for me is what I want for me. And that's true authentic trust. And until you can get to that point, like, I think that's why, and God is good. And I think he gives us so many good gifts. So I'm not just saying like, God's just going to tell you to lay down your life and your life's just going to be the worst thing ever, because it says that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that he gives us, you know, peace, joy, that, you know, every good gift comes from above. Like, there are good gifts that God wants to give us, but he also wants us he wants to see, are you going to trust me with everything? Even if it's not what you want, are you going to trust me to that extent? Oh my goodness, what he could do with people who are just open hands, like, God, send me wherever.
Yeah, that reminds me of that goofy old song, please don't send me to Africa.
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, you're not? No. Oh, it's pretty stupid.
I'm not familiar with that either.
Wow. You know, you talk in the book about hitting rock bottom in college. You went through a bad breakup. Your parents split up. And, you know, you've talked a couple of times so far about just prayer being a real connection point for you. Were there other things that you used to connect with God during that time? And like, what did you kind of learn through that whole process?
I was very lukewarm for a long time, and I wasn't reading my Bible in that time. And I was talking with a friend the other week, and we were like, wow, we were both living lukewarm, but what changed for us? Reading the Bible. The moment we opened up the Bible and actually read it consistently, our lives just changed. Like, our hearts started to change. Our minds started to change. And so one thing I would say is, yes, prayer is so powerful. Prayer is your weapon, but also the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is your weapon. And when you are crying on your bathroom floor because nothing makes sense, you cannot rely on your feelings, and maybe you don't even have the words to pray, but you get to go to this Word and you get to declare it over your life, that you will see the goodness of the Lord, land of the living, that He works everything out for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. Like, you just get to declare that because you know it's the truth.
You know, a lot of daily discipline, as you were talking about, that plays into it, because I know that I struggle with that too. Like, sometimes I get to the end of the day and I lay down and I'm like, I did not crack my Bible open. I don't even think I prayed. And I'm trying to get a quick prayer in. Like, what are some practical ways, like, that we can really just go after those daily disciplines? Because that is so hard. We live chaotic lives, busy world, go, 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 go. And it's hard. It's hard to do.
Yeah. No, it is. I literally was talking with a friend last night. She said, Ashley, I didn't read my Bible today. I said, you know what? It's okay, because you can do it tomorrow. I said, you can start again tomorrow. One, if you have not cracked open your Bible and you're under the sound of my voice, and it's been days, it's been weeks, it's been months, it's been years, whatever it is, you can always start again. You can always start again. So that's huge. Number two, I would say one big thing is we like to go 0 to 100. We like to be extreme. We like to say, hey, I haven't cracked open my Bible in days. I'm going to read it for an hour. You don't need to read it for an hour. You could read it for 10 minutes. You're still, you know, you haven't worked out in months. So then we all, you know, we go to the gym for 3 hours and then we don't go back. It's like, you could have just done a 15-minute walk. And that would have been taking care of your body. We love to go to these extremes, but I think the way to starting these disciplines from ground zero is going, okay, I'm going to work my way up. Maybe I just read 2 minutes on the way to school on the bus on my Bible app. Like, you decide for you what you want to commit to. But I think the biggest thing is deciding it and then committing to it. And then if you want to be extra just spicy in there, tell a friend and say, hey, friend, hold me accountable. I need you to tell me. I need you to check in about this. And they will. And it will also really help. I think you're more likely to accomplish goals when you tell a friend. There's some percentage.
Let's get extra spicy. I like that. you know, it's cool. Speaking of the Bible app, I think I must have done something in my settings, because when I get up in the morning, it's usually around after I've gotten in the shower, I get this little ding and it says, remember to pray right now. And it's the Bible app that did it. So I don't know. I'm pretty sure I set that up somewhere once upon a time.
Nice.
I know. It's pretty great. Exactly.
This is the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's God's grace over your life. Right. I have no idea how to do that.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. It happens every day.
Love that.
That is very cool. I could use that.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking a lot about conveniences and the things that have caused us to be impatient. The flip side of that, if we're really IDing it, can be a bit of laziness. Sit down and just turn on the TV and, you know, mm-hmm. just, we even have a term, veg out. And, we're watching this older thing, All Creatures Great and Small. It's from the early 1920s. And these people had to work. If they wanted to eat, they had to go out and make sure the garden was tended and this kind of thing. And it really hit me that along with all of these conveniences and our lack of patience is a kind of a flip side that needs to be addressed as well. I see you smiling, so hopefully I'm not too far off base. That it's just a gunk in our lives that has just sort of slowed us down. And we aren't being as intentional as we could be.
Yeah. And I think that that scripture, one thing that's huge in your waiting season is you cannot control what happens. You cannot control the timing of your life. You cannot control when that opportunity comes. You cannot control when, you know, you meet this great guy. You cannot control those things. It's awful. I hate it. I'm so sorry that we can't control that. But what you can control is what you do. And so that's, I think, where that faithfulness comes in and that the law of stewardship comes in. You always reap what you sow. So you get to know, all right, I am sowing these seeds today. I'm waking up early. I'm reading my Bible. I'm showing up to this small group. I have no friends, but I'm showing up to things alone. And you just get to know, like, that is going to produce fruit in your waiting season. And then you look back, like, on what you were waiting for. Like, God is also a huge part of the book that we talk about is, as you're being faithful in your waiting season, there is fruit that comes when God says, all right, now she's ready. Now she's ready for that opportunity. Now I'm going to open that door because you're ready for it. No one's just going to get the starting quarterback position and not train, right? You train. And then when the door, when that quarterback is hurt, you're in.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
You don't want to not be ready when God says you're in and then you miss it.
And it's wrong to pray that he gets hurt. Just remember that.
Uncle Fritz.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Makes you think of Brock Purdy, honestly. I'm
exactly.
So inspired by
yes.
his story.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, he loves Jesus. I don't know if you knew that. He's a...
He loves the Lord. We were all rooting for him at our church. We were all rooting for him because of that.
So close.
Oh. Yep. Yeah.
I struggle with mental health issues. And I know that the enemy uses lies to really just try to hinder my relationship with God. One of the biggest ones is I wasn't treated with, it's chemical imbalance, and I wasn't even treated with medication until my mid-30s. And I was, it's a very nice way to put it, difficult. I don't know, some people might call me difficult now, but I was really difficult before medication. And so Satan is constantly in my ear. You, like, look at your past. Look at what an awful person you was. You think God's going to love you? I mean, come on. And it's really, you know, that voice can get so loud sometimes, and it's really hard to push through. And I think we all have those lies, you know, that the enemy is just whispering into our ear. What maybe is one that he's whispered into your ear that really kind of threaten that closeness that you have with God, that you have to continually push through that noise?
I thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that. I feel like every one of us can relate in some way to having lies in our head. I mean, they come out of nowhere. Talk about something you can't control. You can't control those lies coming into your head. Like, some of these lies, you're like, where did that come from? You know? But one of the biggest things that I've had to continually fight is the lie that I'm not good enough. That stupid lie. We all have one, but that's just mine. But whenever that comes in, I have to take up my sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I got to pray in the Spirit, and I got to say, all right, God, you've given me everything I need to accomplish every good work. You are with me. You are strong for me where I'm weak. I that's where that scripture comes in. Like, you just, I truly believe that when we use scripture over these lies, the enemy shrieks. When you do scripture plus prayer, and I know that because Ephesians 6 says that. It says that when you're in that battle, you take up the sword of the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit. When you do that, the enemy is like freaking out because he just can't have as much power. And I know it can feel really defeating if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I do that and it's still hard. I have these things called battle cards that I created. I actually will show it. So I did this when I was like really struggling with lies. So what I'll do is I'll describe this for someone who is not on video right now. So what you'll do is you'll get an index card and you write, you figure out what's that struggle, what's that lie, and then you decide, okay, what's a truth from God's word that I can find that would fight that lie? So you write that scripture down on one side of the card. Okay, we're halfway there. We've done so well. You're almost there. Then on the next side, we write a prayer. Because sometimes when those lies are coming, you have no words to pray. And you just like, you're kind of, you feel like you're being attacked because maybe you are under spiritual attack. You write a prayer about that specific thing because specific prayers get specific answers. You write that down. And then whenever that lie comes up, you take out your index card. You first read your scripture. Then you turn it over and you read your prayer. And then you're done. And you put it back into your pocket. And you keep taking it out and you keep using it until the lie is literally defeated.
That is good.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There are times where we do the work for the enemy and we're just mean to ourselves. Like Regina George inside our head, but it's us. So I'm guessing, you know, that's a great way to fight those voices too. Like, I love that. I love the whole premise of a battle card.
Mm-hmm. I have so many, and my audience has started creating them too. I literally have like an entire stack because I just started to see that they worked. So I was like, man, I got to do this for every single thing that I struggle with.
Man, that is good. I'm totally going to steal that idea. I love it.
You have full permission.
Thank you. I'll give you credit. I'll be like, Lord, I thank her for this.
No, you do not need to. This is just anyone who is excited about that idea should try it. It's really life-changing.
It is good.
You know, what we're talking about, it reminds me of Ephesians 3:20 and how it talks about how God can do above and beyond all you could ask, think, or imagine. One version takes imagine and replaces it with dream. So even if you tried to dream as big as you possibly can, God can do more through you than that dream. And it just shows right now what we're talking about is the enemy wants you off track. He wants to make you, I guess you could shrink back from what he's got planned for you. And isn't that, think of all the things that maybe we could do. How many things have we talked ourselves out of? And it can be simple stuff too. I was going to ask that girl out to the dance, but now I'm not going to because I'm afraid. There's so many things that we really retreat from. I'm just thinking about where would I be in my life if I took every opportunity that God had in front of me, but I listened to the enemy instead. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It's like so obvious to me right now that inner dialogue is there simply to keep you down. So, yeah, replacing it with the word and what it says, that's what we got to do. I love that. That's awesome.
Well, absolutely. It makes you think about, you know, I think that the enemy speaks the loudest when we're on the brink of something really great.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Like with Jesus in the wilderness, like Jesus was about to start his ministry and that's when the devil was the loudest. If he had listened to those lies then, and there's a lot of us right now, we feel like we have an opportunity. Maybe there's a risk that we're going to take. We're going to move to this city, whatever. We feel God's leading us, but there's that lie that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, what if that's not God telling you,
yep.
right?
Yeah. Mm. And those things, right. Misty, that the enemy's telling you, it's to keep you from where he wants you to be.
They're the worst. And sometimes he uses other people to speak it into your life. Like that those insecurities voiced out loud by somebody else, that's almost harder to get past than when the devil whispers it in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
That is so good and so true.
Yeah.
And we own it.
We agree with it. We come into agreement. We're like, oh, well, I guess that is true. Wow.
Yeah.
And then we aren't able to accomplish what God is calling us to because we've just sunk into the lie. And so that's powerful.
How socially acceptable is it to, when somebody does that to you, go, get behind me, Satan?
I've seen the movie War Room and it changed my life.
This
woman literally looks at the man who's about to steal her purse and she says, in Jesus' name, you must leave. I thought about that. I'm like, if anything happens, I might just rebuke.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus did that with Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan.
Yep.
He literally did that.
Yeah. That's,
hey, if it's good enough for Jesus.
Oh, wow. Well, hey, we love to end every interview we have with this question. What brings you joy, Ashley?
What brings me joy is just authentic quality time with people that I love. Mm. That brings me so much joy. I mean, y'all, we better not sleep on the people that God has given us. I think we look past the family. Family Life Radio, here we are. We look past like, you know, our mom, our dad, our brother. We look past our close family. We look past our close friends. We like try to find our, you know, life and joy in other places, when like a lot of the gifts that God has given us is just right in front of us and we just miss it, you know? So I think just really paying attention to, I want to do that better this year, just really steward these close relationships even more, because they're just such a gift.
Amen. Yeah. There's so many things that get in the way with between us and people, and not realizing that's the most important thing besides God is people, you know?
Amen.
Yeah.
Love God, yeah. Love people.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you
so
much.
That's all we got to focus on.
This has been good. This has been rich. Appreciate it.
Where can we find you?
Oh, my goodness. So y'all can, I'm from Nashville. I'm becoming more and more of a Southerner.
That's right.
Okay, so my Midwest roots are leaving me. You guys, first and foremost, you can order the book, The Joy of the In-Between. It is at thehoneyscoop.com/book. And I'd love to have you just pre-order this book. You'll get a free bonus. You'll get in the launch team. We'd love to have you in, as well as you can follow along on Instagram at Ashley Hetherington or YouTube at Ashley Hetherington.
Awesome. Can't wait to get there. And thanks for your time. And this has been really good. This has been awesome. Really appreciate it. And to add to y'all, you can add fixin' to, which yes. means a couple of things. It means you're about to get to do something.
Fixin' to release the book.
Yeah.
Or, ooh, I'm going to steal that.
Yeah. Or you're thinking about doing something. It's so, yep. Yeah. Yeah. You could add that.
I like fixing.
Yep. That's good. Well, thank you so much. You're welcome. Thank you. Appreciate it. This has been good.
You're all wonderful.
Oh, thank wow.
you. So sweet.
All right. We'll call you tomorrow.
Yes. Thank you so much. This was such a sweet conversation. And I pray that the people who are listening to this are just blessed.
Amen.
And we weren't too harsh, but, but we did, you know, we did share the truth that Amen. Could potentially, you know, help set them free.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast, heard on Family Life Radio. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.